And we are live at Flowery Branch with the Atlanta Falcons on the absolute opposite of anything I've seen over the last couple of weeks. What is happening here in the opposite of, I was walking around the streets of New Orleans, 96 degrees, sun beating down. Let's just say I earned my 20,000 steps dropping my daughter off at college because the heat was just insane all weekend. I know I was talking to Mike Conti, and he had a similar situation in Orlando. And then hearing back here, getting back in town last night around, I'm not going to lie to you, got back around midnight, and I was like, what was going on in Atlanta? 70s? 60s? And we were out here last week. Wild weekend that you just went through here in the ATL.
Yeah, listen, man, I never thought in a million years I'd show up and be at training camp and be watching people walk in with jeans and puffy jackets on August 4th. I can tell you that.
I heard you guys say it's a little chilly, and I was like, chilly?
Stink.
Like, last time we were out here, we were dripped. We had fans going everywhere.
God bless Allie. She shows up in the tennis skirt. She was frozen at about 5:30 a.m. this morning, but she soldiered through.
Yeah, well, we are here at a much lesser Flowery Branch crowd, and that's to be understood. The first day of school, including for yourself, for a lot of kids, the public schools are back today. Some of them went back last week, but just about everybody is back. Traffic will be a little bit worse on the highways, and there'll be a lot less here at Flowery Branch, as, you know, last week kind of set up perfectly. That last week of summer where folks had stopped traveling, looking for something to do, coming to training camp, getting a chance to see after a year off, where you weren't able to be here, that probably produced a lot of the big crowds that you had last week. It will not be the same this week. We will be here, though, all week long. And haven't had a chance to sit with you in a while. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, man. Happy to be back. Obviously, a lot of things to catch up on. You mentioned it, man. It's first day of school for a lot of people. We've had a lot of conversations this morning with people that are kind of enjoying that note. And my wife, you know, obviously being in education and working at a school, she's back at it as well. So I got the official chalkboard photo in front of the front door for the kiddos this morning.
Very exciting.
Not quite as far along as your children in your life.
I was in the opposite world. I was dropping my daughter off at college, an emotional goodbye. My baby girl, and not going up the road to Athens, so this is not like I can pop in and meet her for lunch.
Right.
An hour down the road.
Right.
But, you know, she had to go early because she's dancing at Tulane. And, listen, what do they always say? You want to put them in a position to thrive and leave you, right? That's how you know you feel good, is if you feel like they're equipped. And a lot of tears for Mama, and a little bit for Dad. She's still there. My wife is. She's driving back. Let me just tell you how you don't get in a good place with your wife. Let me just tell you this. And there's nothing I can do. You see, Mike Conti, our leader here. You know, I missed enough shows. I had to be here. So she drove to New Orleans.
Okay.
And then I said, baby, I have got to get back. Mike Johnson and the team, they need me. And she's like, let me get this straight. So I'm driving 8 hours back alone after you didn't drive here either. I had to be there Friday. Friday was a big day. We had a lot going on, you know. I mean, like, you know, the city needed me. You know, you can't. I mean, in the heart of what's happening now.
What we have done.
Yeah. We were in Athens. We had Kirby. We had Josh Brooks. We had, you know, a bunch of Georgia players. So, I don't know. I think, what do you think? Big bouquet of flowers when she gets
back? Something along those lines.
Yeah.
How did drop off go, though, man? You didn't even go in it. You kind of breezed past the drop. Any emotions flowing?
Yeah,
Who was the most emotional in the situation?
My wife left me and Nola alone off to the side. So both of us.
Ooh, buddy.
Yeah. So, but you know what it was for me? It was more like not in front of her, but just as I was doing errands. So yesterday we were moving into her dorm, and I was like, consider me a robot. Tell me where I have to go and what I have to do.
Yes.
There was a trip to Walmart.
The to-do list.
Then there was a trip to Target.
Yeah.
Then there was a trip, Daddy, can you get me some coffee? I'd love some. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You want a pastry with that? Yeah. No problem. Then her roommate's grandparents live in New Orleans. Hey, they have a headboard, Daddy. Can you drive down to this house and meet these whatever
she
you
need. She already knew
whatever.
Said roommate before?
Her roommate. No, she didn't know her before,
but
she's meeting her, by coincidence. So I just literally was six or seven errands all day. Listen, I'm not
busy,
the guy
man.
You want putting together the shelving. I'm just not that guy. right? Mike Conti grew up with guys like this. The Northeast Jewish guy is not the guy you want putting your dorm room together, right? You know, that is not the handyman, you know, a guy who spends much of his time at Home Depot, knows every aisle. That's not necessarily me. So I was just on full errand mode. So it was during those errands I would start getting a little weepy.
Oh, man.
Try not to do it in front of her. But, yeah, it's, and anybody can relate when, you know, the most time you'll spend with your kids, 80% of the time you spend with your children is up until 18 years old.
Yeah.
So everything else after that, smaller windows, doesn't make him less impactful. So, but listen, I'm lucky enough that we'll be back there, and I'm going back there for Labor Day weekend, that massive weekend of football, which is
huge.
One of the great weekends.
Huge.
So
Bama
they're playing
at FSU, man. I already got it on the calendar. I know Mike Bell's going, but wow.
Say it again?
Bama at Florida State.
So you're going?
I might try.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can make
so,
it.
So, you know,
happen,
think about
try.
Bama, Ohio, Bama and Florida State is like a lesser than version.
It's an appetizer.
Yeah. Because Texas, Ohio State,
massive.
Right at noon, LSU and Clemson, and Notre Dame and Miami. You know, I'm going to watch my daughter dance because it's their first game, but Northwestern and Tulane. Listen, don't laugh. I just saw the 32 teams most likely to be in the NCAA into the college playoff, and Tulane was 16 out of 32. So they're in the hunt because somebody has to go from the non-power four.
Yeah.
You know what the key is? You got to win conference games. So they're playing the Big Ten. They're playing Ole Miss of the SEC, and they're playing Duke out of the ACC, three of their first four games. That's how schools like a Tulane, that's where Boise, that's where Navy, by the way, last year was very much in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to go out of those 12. One of them has to be a non-power. So I think what it does is give like 15 or 20 schools in the non-power four an opportunity, which is why that's a big game early on as well. And there's so many of those on Labor Day
don't
weekend.
Don't forget that this Labor Day, the beauty of the Labor Day weekend games is, and I can't remember if there's one on Thursday or not, but you got the Friday game that's Georgia Tech, Colorado, which
right.
is absolutely awesome. Then you're going to get the Sunday game, which I think is maybe Notre Dame, Miami. Syracuse and Tennessee play at some point that weekend. That
yeah,
might
they're
be.
Playing here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Syracuse, Tennessee game. What's the other game we have here? Is it Virginia?
Virginia Tech and Vanderbilt, maybe? Or South Carolina?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I know Virginia Tech and Vanderbilt play as well this year. There's like
South
a round
Carolina.
Robin between those three teams. Virginia Tech, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina all play each other in the first 4 weeks of the season. But, yeah, I mean, it's exceptional, man. It seems like
– And keep in mind, because we're going to get Tennessee, Georgia is week three. It's their first game.
It's crazy.
So a lot of Georgia fans are going to have their eye on Tennessee. Obviously, Syracuse coming in here. That's not a game you want to mess around with if you're Tennessee. You have to show that you have – you know, you can flex your muscles in that game. Georgia's season starts in Knoxville. The first two games are really scrimmages in all intents and purposes.
Week three, Wisconsin at Bama. In week three
yes.
in Tuscaloosa, which is going to be a good one as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, a Big Ten SEC matchup.
Yeah, random.
We got to go through and see what Kirby Cutson may want to play. He talked a lot about Gunnar Stockton and about his receiving group and just in general, you know, mindset.
What kind of mood was he in on Friday, man? You guys
so
did great out there at Grindhouse.
He was – did you hear him?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard bits and pieces.
So he's a little intense when he showed up. I said, you know, what was your off season like to get ready? And he goes, I'm watching a lot of tape. That's what I'm doing. I said, no, but separate of football. Separate of
unplug
football.
Unplug a little bit.
How did
back
you
up,
how do you get your brain
have a
ready?
Cold beer, just cool down a little bit.
He
and then
said, no, family time.
Of course.
He had just done a 5-day tournament in Mississippi
South
with
Haven.
One of his kids, right?
Yeah, South Haven, Mississippi, man.
I mean,
it's a big deal.
He's got impressive young men. I mean, he's got a tennis player, a baseball player, his daughter's a great player. So, and then I thought it was interesting. I said, what do you love most about your job? And he said, right now, all ball, all the time. No classes, no conflicts.
20-hour rule that he'll deal with in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Get his guys in.
He goes, we're all in a hotel together.
Right.
We are nonstop in meetings. There are no restrictions. There is no classes yet. He says it's all ball all the time. I love it. I love everything about it. And I said, that's when Rusty writes your biography. He's just going to call it all ball all the
There's
time.
There's nothing like those lies being told in the 20-hour rule report. Nick Saban was the same way. It was like, oh, you guys got a workout. It's going to be from 10 to 10:20. I'm like, nobody in the history of the world has ever done a whole workout in 20 minutes in with Scott Cochran in a Bama weight room, okay? But they had to schedule it that way because it's the 20-hour
You know what I
room.
Thought was fascinating, and I didn't realize, and not everybody has practices like that. they're running the fours and the threes are running. Did we talk about this on the air? So Kirby has to be able to turn and see a play happen and then turn the other way and see another play happen within seconds.
Yes.
So everything is staggered. He probably got it from Saban.
They actually do very similar. I know you haven't had a chance to be out for the early parts of the Falcons, but it's very similar out here. Split field to where you want everybody to get as many reps
as
possible.
So Kirby wants to see a play every 5 seconds.
Yes.
So they have to stagger. And then, like, Kirby is, like, talking to his film guys, like, move that camera to the right a little. They have so much access to film.
Yeah.
He's like, I've seen that angle. I need to see how he explodes coming off the ball in that angle so that he moves the camera a little bit that way. I mean, the level of technology and the level of preciseness, is that the word?
Precision. Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
Of how Georgia's running a practice where there is not a millisecond of wasted time. I need to evaluate players nonstop every single second.
It's not only that, Stick. It's I will evaluate you later. I'm not talking about it right now.
Right.
I'm not talking about it right now.
I have so much film.
Get the snap and get the rep. And you know what? After you've had a shower and we all sit down and we can watch it on a big old 4K screen if we want to. But right now, your job is to go get another snap and worry about it later.
Yeah, and that's why essentially the fours get as much run as the ones, because the fours are in there to go up against the twos, because you're trying to evaluate constantly. Anyways, we'll have lots more on that. I want to talk about Falcons and what the first couple of weeks have felt like. Let's do a really quick 9 at 9. I'm not going to lie to you. Landed last night around midnight, so it was not completely on top of everything that happened over the weekend. But it did sound like there was a baseball game that almost got played on Saturday. Actually, really had no chance of getting played on Saturday. The deluge. And then, unfortunately, you had to watch a lot more Alex Rodriguez. That is not in the same category as inside the NBA or game day.
No, it's
David
not.
Ortiz,
it feels
Alex
so
Rodriguez,
forced.
And Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter, you can tell, doesn't like Alex Rodriguez. They keep him apart.
Yeah, they put David
in the
Ortiz
middle.
And they added
he's
Chipper
super
Jones
entertaining, David Ortiz, but he's not very talented broadcaster.
It just, you know what? I loved all those guys individually as baseball players, but they seem so unlikable at the desk.
Well, they don't seem to have any, I know what they're trying to do, Yankee
There's
Red
no
Sox.
No cohesion.
Which people get sick of the Yankee Red Sox thing also.
Yeah.
The whole thing, like, and then Ortiz was in the bar and whatever. Anyway, the Braves do get a win yesterday, 4-2. A lot of issues, I guess, Major League Baseball had to deal with. They ran out of food. Not a lot of places for people to stay. Folks are like, why did you even try to play an inning? You could see that the weather was never going
to
break.
I swear, I think they literally tried to play it just so they could get the American flag turned up, you know, with the cards and the audience, just so they could get the photo op. And then it was like, you know what, man? There's a lake at third base. We should probably do this another time. Probably move on.
Yeah, so they do win 4-2 yesterday. I do want to talk to folks that made the trip. Was it they're calling it the Fry Festival of
Fire Festival.
Fire Festival, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Fire Fest.
I've seen both documentaries, so I screwed up the name, but that's what they're calling it, kind of, the way people got stranded there. We'll talk to folks who were there. Falcons continue their workouts. Tech and Georgia doing the same. What else we missed over the weekend? Micah Parsons announces last
Craziness.
Week that he wants to be traded. Jerry
Craziness.
Jones, I heard you guys do that segment. Not putting a lot of weight into that.
Nah.
Right?
Nah, man.
And
he ain't going nowhere.
Trade deadline comes and goes. Who are the big winners? I don't know. We shall see. People said the Yankees were, but Yankees got smoked over the weekend. Phillies and Tigers last night. They're two contenders. They were playing Dodgers in the mix. So whatever. You know what happened in baseball. We're playing out the stretch, and we'll see how that goes as well. And Alex Anthopoulos taking some heat last week for the trade deadlines or lack of moves as well. We're live at Flowery Branch. I have a, unfortunately, sobering moment on the plane thinking about the Atlanta Falcons. It's like, Steak, why weren't you thinking about your daughter? Well, I'm thinking about our pass rush, and then I'll think about my daughter. I want to ask you about it when we come back. I'm Steak Shapiro. He's Mike Johnson. We're the Steakhouse. A 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Didn't have this on my bingo card. A misty, chilly, kind of fall-like morning in early August in Flowery Branch. My name is Steak. That's Mike Johnson. Nice enough to fill in. A couple of our big guys off this week, Sandy and Rusty, and Mike helping us out. Tomorrow I'll be out here with Bo. And appreciate you spending time driving around Atlanta. Maybe you dropped your kids off, first day of school for a lot of folks, and, you know, doing dad duty. But we appreciate you spending time with us. I do want to talk about what was kind of something that popped in my head as I was getting ready for the show, thinking about it on Friday. But I did want to ask you, because I did get a lot of comments about Drew Butler, who took us through his journey to making an NFL roster and dealing with a competition, you know, to make a team as a free agent and all that. And then also I was thinking about Kirby, and I said, how different is you showing up your very, very first day in Athens compared to what it's like now? And he just talked about, you know, the hazing. He goes, we really can't do that. Can't haze like we used to. I said, who was the worst guy that hazed you? And he said, Eric Zier. Just, you know, terrorized him, shaved their heads oh, yeah. Immediately.
That was us too. I was the last class at Bama to get hazed. I was the very
last
one.
What does that mean? Like there literally became a policy of no hazing?
Yes. Well, here's what happened. Okay. Let's just rewind back to the fall of 2005. I got hazed. And I don't know who's the worst one because we were blindfolded when it was all going on. And
so give me an example of what that looks like. Is that your first day showing up?
First night before training camp starts. Okay. So not the first day showing up.
So we're you're all in an athletic dorm?
We're all in an athletic dorm, which was Rose Towers at the time. The interior of it looked like a freaking submarine. There's just, you know, drain pipes and water pipes everywhere. They demolished it like 2 years after this. But nonetheless, yeah, so you get your door kind of kicked in. You know, not kicked in, but you can imagine.
Yeah, they're
it's hostile.
Dramatic
style. Beat the door down. Yeah. Lead you out in the hallway.
Who's your roommate?
My roommate at the time, get this, guy named Jimmy Barnes.
Uh-huh.
He was actually college teammates with Landry Fields at Los Alamitos in California. How about Landry Fields? Connect that dot in your head of Landry Fields being the Hawks GM all these years later.
Wow.
High school teammates, I'm sorry, of Los Alamitos, California with Landry Fields. But nonetheless, Jimmy Barnes, he was a quarterback. We get led out in the hallway. We're holding hands. We're blindfolded.
So they immediately blindfold you?
Immediately blindfold you.
Yeah.
You're led out in the hallway, led down to kind of, I guess, what would be the elevator lobby. We don't really know where we're at this point. First thing you do is shave your head, right? And then I didn't know what it was at the time. This is going to sound really weird. Made you do kind of a taste test of certain stuff, and it was icy hot. I put icy hot in my mouth.
Damn.
And then they led us out into the courtyard area out in front of the dorm, and we did kind of plank position as they sprayed us with water hoses and things like that. So
for how long?
I'd say this whole thing lasted an hour.
Right.
Hour, you know, night before training camp.
Were you ever in a fraternity?
No.
Okay.
No.
Very, very similar to, you know, I was in a fraternity in the 80s where there was no holds barred.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, you couldn't get away with – you could get away with 80% of what they did to us. And that was for Hell Night and Hell Week. But the whole time you're hazed for months. But it sounds very similar to that experience. And is that the only time you're truly getting hazed?
Yeah. So what happened is that night, and this is why I say I was part of the last group to ever get hazed at Alabama. What happened was that night, one of the guys was getting hazed. And I'm talking about plank position out in the dirt. Actually was planking in a fire ant pit and had an allergic reaction.
Oh,
and I mean, like, rushed to the hospital. Bad. So the next year was also Mike Shula was the head coach. He was like, hey, we can't do any of that stuff this year. And then Nick Saban takes over and threatened all of us with being kicked off the team if we did anything of that nature on the first night of training. These guys are your teammates. Why would you want to haze them?
That's what he said.
Like, yeah. That's
so he was not
I'm sitting there going, well, because I got hazed.
Right.
2 years ago.
Because it's the indoctrination. You know, it's the rite of passage. It's also really
if you fought
dumb.
It, if you fought the head shave stick, then you got your eyebrows shaved. And they just went from there. You know,
so how often would kids pride? Did you see any kids from your class that literally resisted the head shave?
Oh, yeah. It didn't go well.
They broke you down. So what would happen if you resisted it?
You know, some Ric Flair smacks across the chest and just doing anything else necessary. I mean, there was a couple fights, man.
So
a couple people tried to fight their way out of it in my freshman class, and it didn't work well.
Yeah, you know, it was always the big – you know, when I was hazing, right, as an upperclassman, I always, you know, did it with a, you know, level of – let's just have fun with it. Like, everybody knows what's going on here. You know, it was a lot of, like – you know, this lineups and screaming at them, and I do the, you know, Marine drill sergeant stuff, but really having fun. I was laughing most of the time.
Right.
But it was the jackasses. Listen, they say they're all your brothers. You know, you have 120 people in a fraternity. You may be like 70, 80% of them. 20% of them, you go, I would never give this guy the time of day.
No.
This guy's a loser. I don't know how he got in four classes ago. Clearly, they made a mistake. And those are the guys, because they get no respect,
yes,
that would act like the biggest jerk.
100%. And so, look, any football locker room's like that.
And I knew,
any football locker.
I knew when I was rushing and I was a pledge, like, this guy will never be my friend. This guy's a tool, and he is abusing me way worse than anyone else. Because he probably also knew this is what would happen. Once I got in, or my buddies, we would never talk to that guy.
Yep.
And that's the guy that would always go over the top, overcompensate for the fact that most of the year he gets no respect in,
yep,
the fraternity.
That's such a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
So it's funny, Steve, because we've talked so many times this year in the last couple of weeks on the morning shift about the relationship between the rookies,
yeah,
and the vets, and the fighting, and whatever, and everything else that goes on. And that's been part of the conversation, is you don't just walk in and get respect, right? You have to earn it through your play on the field. It would always be irritating as a vet when you'd show up, and so-and-so rookie would show up who's number, I don't know, 63 playing corner, and his Twitter profile says number 63 for the Atlanta Falcons, and you're like, dude, I've never even seen this guy before. How,
right,
are you, you know, how are you already claiming all this clout? So that relationship is a fine one to walk, right?
Yep.
When you talk about rookies versus vets, and vets not taking it too far and being accepting of rookies, but also rookies keeping their head down and working.
Yeah, and just keep your mouth shut.
Yes.
You know, as long as you don't cross the line. When I was a pledge, I had fun with it. I understood what it was about, but then there'd be these guys, and I was like, dude, keep it together, because in exactly, usually was Hell Week, in 3 days, you're equal with him. You're both,
yes,
brothers.
Yep.
And at that point, he has nothing on you, but you got to survive that last point. And then there is the point for a football team. You want to elevate these rookies. You want to make them better. You want to figure out what it's going to take, because especially, and that's turned my attention to what I was going to say about the Falcons. You know, the problem with the Atlanta Falcons, obviously, is not on the offensive side of the ball, where they have spent all their equity building an offensive line that ranked out as one of the top in the league last year. And we all know about Jake Matthews and obviously Chris Lindstrom and Bergeron. I mean, these are accomplished top offense. You know, Caleb McGarry, they say, is going to have a big year. Obviously, we took our top 10 picks and took skill positions. But it's hard, Mike, and this is what I was thinking about. It's hard to look at a defense that is trying to tell us that Leonard Floyd at, what, 33 years old, right? 32, 33
years
old.
He's up there. Yep, somewhere around there.
That two rookies that have never made a play in the National Football League, never made one play in Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. Like, there are the Rams last year that had example of two rookie linemen that, you know, got after the quarterback. But, again, you know, there are teams that have veteran, accomplished, depth at the position, rotating six or seven guys. You're talking about an aging player in Leonard Floyd. You got very cheap, right?
Yep.
You're talking about two rookies who have not done anything. Nobody in football sits around and thinks about Divine Diablo and Caden Ellis and David Onyemata and put them in a category as elite players. They just don't. I mean, that is not a group that, frankly, when we sit here and we wax poetic about the run the Falcons are going to make, and Sandy went and made her pick, I saw in Vegas, the Falcons over, and I'm tended to lean that way also. But that's not a group right there. Who's done anything in that group?
So then what do you point? No, I agree with you. So then what do you point to? Then all of a sudden you point to the defense coordinator and Jeff Olbrich.
Yes.
Now it's
definitely
how can you mold the guys that we have and put them in a situation to be successful?
That's
the question.
The other side of the ball, you have Bijan's one of the best in the league.
They're all first-round picks.
Yeah, Drake London, one of the best, yeah, in the league. Michael Penix, good.
More than half of your offense are first-round picks.
But David Onyemata and Leonard Floyd and two rookies and Caden Ellis. Yeah, A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates are fine. But how much are we going to be talking about Mike Hughes and D. Alford and Jordan Fuller? Like, well, who are those guys?
Xavier, right? Watts. Clark Phillips.
I mean, listen, I get Clark Phillips. We're going to talk about him now because now we're talking about the rookie
safeties.
Billy Bowman, right?
Xavier Watts, yeah.
So rookies don't come in and make you a top 10 defense. They don't.
No.
That's why I'm worried.
95% of the time you are spot on.
Yeah, I'm starting to worry that I have just totally tried to just say, oh, you know, we got these good young guys on defense. Yeah, in 3-4 years, but this year? Is that a group this year that might not be in some serious trouble? When we come back, we'll talk a little college football and lots more. I want to find out what happened in Bristol, what went right and what went wrong. Sports Radio 929. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak Shapiro, Mike Johnson. We are live at Falcons camp. If you can do us a favor, now again, this is, I guess it would be considered nice weather for what Bristol was, because that sucker was coming down.
I think it looked a lot like this, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, buckets of rain. Yeah, it's a nasty day out here. We were watching from our hotel room. We were in New Orleans. I was dropping my daughter off at school, and I was trying to explain to my wife, this will be the biggest attendance of any baseball game of all time.
Right.
And that was kind of cool, but then you realize, and we're really going to play. If anybody was there and can tell us, we are hearing some nightmarish stuff about that building not being ready for something like this.
The operations.
The operations.
Oh, man, the operations. Just hearing stuff about security lines, obviously concessions, things like that.
The concessions, they ran out of a ton of stuff. And
which
the quality
blows
my
mind.
The quality of the food sounds like it was horrendous. Like the amenities sounds like it was just awful.
It's just mind-boggling to me that you could be willing to, because I think it was over 90,000, that you know that 90,000 people are coming to a baseball game and you could run out of concessions in a game that only went one inning.
Right.
How is that possible?
Well, because they all went underneath at the same time.
I mean,
looking
I get it, but it's mind-boggling to me. You would think that
I'm curious what the concessionaire situation is normally for a race, and why wouldn't you just translate that easily into this? But it was a one-time one. Listen, I get what Major League Baseball, in the middle of a long season that some could argue certainly – you know, is less compelling as a sport when numbers would suggest that baseball is not necessarily going in the right direction. They did the Field of Dreams game, which I think was a huge success.
Yeah.
The Little League World Series, where you play major leaguers are sitting there watching little leaguers, and then they have their own game. You know, they're trying
the
to
one,
throw...
They did one in Birmingham last year, too, and I can't remember the
London next year, I guess it is. But it feels like, to some degree... that this thing did not actually pull it off completely. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. You should have had enough for folks to be able to stay in the area, and that may not be the accommodations that everybody was used to.
I was going to say that.
But, you know, I'm just curious, as we talk through, was this a fail in some way, certainly on the Saturday? And, again, that's why they didn't have games scheduled for Sunday in case the weather was a factor, which is exactly what happened. Right?
What I can't understand, Sake, is why just one game? You're playing a series, but you play one game at Bristol.
Right.
I don't understand why not play Friday and Saturday.
Maybe the accommodations you heard that the Reds didn't have necessarily the notion right. The players. Everything was going to be out of sorts. It wasn't a real clubhouse, wasn't a real dugout. What, you know, the hotel accommodations, professional athletes stay in 5-star hotels in every city they go to.
Yeah.
And maybe maybe they say, suck it up for one night, right?
Right.
And that's why it was only a one-time thing or just the infrastructure. But I don't know, Bo, tell us if we have any calls. But I'd love to hear if somebody actually did it, went there, says that it's being overstated, that they didn't pull this thing off. 404-726-0929. Hey, David, were you there in Bristol over the weekend?
I was there.
All right, wow. Give us the rundown.
So parking is parking, and we all knew going up there that it was going to be an issue. The rain didn't help in terms of location and parking. But to get into the stadium was a nightmare. It took us almost an hour to get through security and get to our spot. Zero signage in terms of where you're sitting. So there's the Jeff Gordon Terrace, there's the Kowicki Terrace, zero signage, zero help. Cool setup when you walked in. However, once the rain hit, everybody migrated to downstairs. So you ran out of food fast because no one had anything else to do. Food was god awful. My goodness.
God awful. How bad? How bad?
Oh my Lord! I mean, hot dogs that might have been there for the last race. They ran out of cheese for the nachos. Cutting your nachos in half. I mean, it. You know, I'm a Hawks fan, but that arena's used all year. I don't know how often this is used. So they're right. Using old product or they're bringing in little. And then the delays were awful. People were getting miserable. And then there's another delay. But the big issue was I couldn't go to the game yesterday because there's no hotels up there.
Where did you stay Saturday night?
Oh, we drove up Saturday morning.
Okay.
And so...
Yeah, so it wasn't an option.
No. And then we drove back. We drove back after the game and
God,
got home
that
at
sounds like
o'clock.
A rough deal. God, that sounds like a rough deal. Wow.
No, it was not pleasant at all. Not pleasant.
Well, you just confirmed everything we had heard, and thank you so much for the call.
Yeah.
And again, not all ideas get executed and work out. It doesn't sound like on so many levels that this thing worked out. I mean, how baseball wanted to be cute and put that number together.
How
about the fan experience?
What stinks, Dick? Because you have to believe that NASCAR's got a hand in this as well. Marcus Smith, who owns Bristol Motor Speedway and Atlanta Motor Speedway, or Echo Park Speedway, I'm sorry. And look, he's right. There's not events all the time. But it's more than NASCAR races. The problem is with a place like Bristol, it's like he said, there's the parking is it's grass, it's dirt, right? So if it's raining, all of a sudden you're trying to park. The amount of people that probably got stuck, it's hilly. I can't even imagine that. But then to me the inexcusable things are the concessions and the security. That's inexcusable. Like that's an operations standpoint. And I don't know who was in charge of the operations. I don't know if it's Bristol or if Major League Baseball brings in their own people, whatever. But it's just that's a nightmare. That's inexcusable.
How about no hotel rooms? You get them in and out of the rain. The concessions are a disaster for folks. And then you're getting in your car and driving back and getting back at 4 in the morning. I hate to say it for Braves fans that have had to suffer through what has been a nightmarish season, some of them by their own doing and lack of off-season acquisitions, some of it obviously just the freakish nature of the injuries, but it sounds like you weren't given this big kiss either if you decided to go see this epic game between the Reds and the Braves, and it sounds like a lot of it was extremely painful. And that gentleman right there, maybe somebody else has a thought, 404-726-0929, said it was a miserable experience in a lot of ways.
And two, you mentioned the hotels. This is a conversation amongst NASCAR fans right now, because you know I'm a big race fan, that a lot of these races are starting to move them more towards metropolitan areas. Bristol's not one of them, right? But you do see now Nashville, Chicago Street Course, LA Coliseum, things like that because the hotels, people aren't as RV as they used to be in terms of just going out to the middle of nowhere. Kentucky Motor Speedway is between like Cincinnati and Lexington and Louisville.
When you say they're not as RV as they used to be, just a trend of folks. Just
I think
not,
it is.
You know, that's not where our country is as much, and wanting to just like
100%
sit in an infield and do the whole deal.
That's and it's still something I love to do, but there is a reason that glamping has become a word in the Webster over the last 5-10 years.
So they'd rather stay in a motel-ish setting with a warm shower, and you don't need anything bougie, but like. You know, it doesn't work. It doesn't have the appeal.
NASCAR fans are migrating that way. They're more of a grizzly bunch, I think, than baseball fans on the whole. But baseball fans are definitely amongst that group where it's like, I'm not going to Bristol for one baseball game.
I mean,
it's going to last 2 hours.
If it was spectacular weather. And, you know, first of all, you got to figure out security and not make people wait 1 hour to get into a game.
Right.
But if you had fixed that and it was great weather and the game was, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes and you head home, it sounds like it was the opposite across the board on all of that stuff.
There's no doubt about it. I think, look, like I said, it's a regular season baseball game. This is not a playoff. This is not a series. This is one regular season baseball game. I mean, Stake, I think I've had this conversation with you before. One of the great tragedies of my life, Stake, National title game 2017, Bama versus Georgia. The day of, I see it, weather kind of like this outside, freezing rain, sleet.
Just like this.
The president was showing up, so you knew security was going to be insane. And I sold my tickets that day about 3 hours before the game. 3 hours before the game. Ended up being one of the greatest games in the history of national football, national title games, where Bama beats Georgia on the throw from Tua. I sold my tickets, though, because I was like, I'm not standing in security for 2 hours.
Well, how did you know it was going to be that bad? Because a lot of people didn't know until they got there.
The weather, I just knew. I had been to
events where the president was. It was one of the worst nights of weather in Atlanta, and it was the single worst security issue getting in the history of Mercedes-Benz. There are people that showed up for a game kicked off at 8:15 maybe. People showed up at 5:50 and did not get in the game in the first
quarter. That's probably about the time that I sold my tickets. It was about 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I love Bama. No, I want to see this national
title. 2 hours and 45 minutes was real.
I was like, you know what? I got a good offer on my tickets, and I sold them. Just and I hate it looking back on it because it's one of
obviously,
Bama guy.
I don't know. I was going to say you would have had to sit out there for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
It'd have been miserable.
All right, let's do a quick tailgate. I got some stuff to share. As we spent Friday in Athens with Kirby Smart and had a great exclusive live interview up the street there at Grindhouse, talked to Josh Brooks, talked to a couple of players. Everything gearing up for the start of the season. Now, not in the same way for Georgia as other programs, as Georgia essentially going through a couple of early season scrimmages before they get going and heading to Tennessee in week three. Marshall opens the season for them on Labor Day weekend. Just start, though, with the Friday night of Labor Day weekend where Georgia Tech is at Colorado. That's the ESPN game, Mikey. Mm. I'm going to kind of throw out these games and you tell me the appeal. Mm. Baylor, who you heard David Pollock the other day talk about, right, as a dark horse. Auburn travels to Baylor. That is also on the Friday night leading into Labor Day. 8 o'clock start on Fox.
Give me all of this steak. I want all – I'm talking about from Thursday to Monday of Labor Day weekend. So, NFL is off. You got 16 days between the Falcons and their opener against the Buccaneers.
So that's on the Friday night, I think, you're getting the Georgia Tech, Colorado, Auburn, Baylor game. Obviously, now clearing up the Mercedes-Benz, they will kick off right out of the gate at noon with Syracuse and Tennessee. Noon start, same noon start as Texas and Ohio State. I mentioned my school, Northwestern, Tulane, which for, you know, Tulane is about as big a game if they're going to be in the hunt to be one of the at-large teams. Alabama at Florida State. That's the 3:30 start we talked about. Same time Georgia will be kicking off against Marshall. Later on over that weekend, remember that LSU and Clemson goes that night.
That's right. That's right. That's one we slept on earlier. That's a good one. Death Valley versus Death Valley.
Beyond a good one. It's Brian Kelly having to absolutely show that they can win an opener at LSU, and Clemson saying we're the best team in the country in terms of NFL prospects.
Two quarterbacks on the short list for Heisman frontrunners next year as well, Cade Klubnik and obviously Garrett Nussmeier.
And how about the 11 o'clock start, Utah at UCLA? You know, Utah obviously one of the better programs in the country. UCLA is trying to find. That is an 11 o'clock kick on Fox. That is not one of those. 11 p.m. on the Fox network, not FS1. 11 p.m.
It's a shame that I hear Utah, UCLA, and I go, okay, what conferences are we talking about squaring up? Because I don't even know. I don't even know.
Utah's in the – are they in the Big 12?
They might be in the Big 12.
And UCLA is in, obviously, the Big 10. So the next day, by the way, Virginia Tech and South Carolina is indeed the second Mercedes-Benz game. That'll be played on Sunday. So Sunday, go down to Mercedes-Benz. You get another college football game where South Carolina is an 8-point favorite. And then, of course, the nightcap is Sunday night. Notre Dame at Miami, 7:30 start that night. And by the way, Monday of Labor Day, another game we haven't talked about, TCU travels to play Bill Belichick in his college football debut. Belichick and North Carolina hosting TCU. 8 o'clock on ESPN from Chapel Hill.
Wow. I have to think Bill hates that. I don't think Bill wants to be in prime time the very first game that he's at UNC.
I'll say this. It'll be pretty humiliating if TCU comes in there and whips their ass,
there
which
is
I hope happens.
No question.
And
about
I think
that.
It is going to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's that will be humiliating. But, again, Bill Belichick has spent the last 24 months humiliating himself. So
to put it lightly.
Why should this game be any different? That is the tailgate. When we come back, Micah Parsons has some things to say, and Jerry Jones has a response. Also, Dan Quinn, he's got some issues with a player that he needs to be wanting to be a commander. That's not the case. We do a quick little run around the NFL. Mike Johnson's here. We're live at Falcons training camp. He's trying to make me feel better about the defense. I don't know what it's going to take. Is anybody going to be playing on this preseason game coming up as well? Sports Radio 92.9.